Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about, let's see, 6 minutes after 11 p.m. here, and there is no Lisa Wolf here tonight, folks.
Not tonight.
She is in Israel. She's in Israel,
yep.
Mike. And she said she will. She'll listen because it's 8 hours later there. But we have Mike Costella here as our pinch hitter. She is in Israel. She will be back here next Saturday. We also have Dan Jaffe and Dave Weiske here. We're going to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. That's in this hour. We are going to tune into Life with Luigi, good Easter program from 1952. We will hear Escape with Jack Webb and William Conrad. And the lineup, a good kind of a detective adventure coming your way. That's until 2 o'clock tonight. We have Shante Garth in the booth. We have Mike Costella here. It is a party. We will be giving away, as I said, year supply Cat's Pride kitty litter. But we're going to start things off with our new game, Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What's the movie, Mike?
The movie is Paths of Glory.
Paths of Glory.
Yep.
I don't know that movie. Do you know that movie?
I think it was a Kubrick film, actually.
Paths of Glory. All right. Well, I'll have to just take a wild guess, I guess. All right. So, folks, call us now, 312-981-7200. What do they win?
They're going to get a desktop indoor weather station.
Okay. Call us, 312-981-7200. The third caller will play the game with us. Come on, play the game on the air with us, 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Greg on the line. Hey, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi, Greg.
Very good, thank you.
All right, ready to play the game?
Yeah.
All right,
the movie is Paths of Glory. Your job is to figure out which one of these lines is actually said in the film. You ready?
Yes.
All right, here's the first one. They'll track you down and hang you if you're not careful. Good luck. The second one? It's not safe here. Take this and head towards the river. Number three. Having been found guilty of cowardice in the face of the enemy, are to be executed by rifle fire.
What do you think?
I'm going to go with number three.
Yeah, I think that one's it. I think three. I'm going to go with you, Greg. Let's see what it is.
Having been found guilty of cowardice in the face of the enemy, are to be executed by rifle fire.
Craig is a winner. He got it right.
He sure is. He's got a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man.
Way to go, Greg.
Sounds
way
great.
To go, buddy. You got, you're a winner, and thanks for calling, and thanks for staying up and listening to our show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love it. Thank you so
buddy.
Much.
Take care.
All right,
thank you, Greg. He is a winner, and our listeners are big winners. And our sponsor, Cat's Pride, has been with us from day one. They give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter every single month. Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Oil Dry, is here. That is the parent company of Cat's Pride. Dan, hello. How are you, my friend?
Hi, Carl. Thanks for having us.
All right. Dave Weiske, he's the vice president of customer success, is here as well. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Carl, Mike, Shante. Welcome back.
Let's talk about the campaign right now, Litter for Good. Tell all of our listeners about Litter for Good.
So Litter for Good really was started 20 years ago on a much smaller scale. I joined the Anti-Cruelty Society here in Chicago and joined the board because I was donating all their litter that they needed so that they didn't have to spend money on litter, so they could spend money on low-cost spay and neuter low-cost adoptions and things like that to try and make sure animals found a happy home. And, you know, over the years, we started donating to other shelters that would call us. And finally, the idea came to us that we could do a national program, But we're only going to do this if it's as important to cat lovers as it is to us. So I'm passionate about cats here in Chicago and nationally, but I'm involved here. And so we started a program called Litter for Good. And what that is for free, our Cats Pride Club members join our Cats Pride Club, and they can nominate their local shelter to receive litter through our program.
Now, anybody can do this. So anyone listening to your voice right now, all they would have to do to join this campaign of helping cats all over the country is to go to the website, catspride.com, and join, right? It's free.
They join for free.
Okay.
And then they nominate whatever shelter they want. If their shelter isn't already listed, they can write them in, and then we go through the process of qualifying that shelter and getting them involved. But that's just the beginning. Now what has to happen is for every green jug of Cat's Pride Fresh and Light we sell, we donate a pound. And I'll let Dave bring up the metrics on what we've donated thus far, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, for 3 months, I mean, we started this in January, so we're right now, I mean, actual donations, and I'm going to reference donations versus our estimate. So we are at 550,000 pounds that have been donated thus far.
Wow.
Now, in the program, again, you buy a jug, we donate a pound. We're tracking at this juncture at about 890,000. So as the momentum gets there, those allocations will be put out to those respective shelters. So we're really excited about
that. Let's talk about how important it is, because by you donating cat litter to these shelters, the residual effect of that is really saving cats' lives. And explain how that works, Dan.
Well, there's no doubt they are under very finite budgets. And so every dollar that they don't have to spend on litter is a dollar that they can go towards spending on making sure those cats and dogs find forever homes. So, you know, most of these shelters have both cats and dogs. So saving money helps both cats and dogs. So even if you don't have a cat, if you could tell friends that have cats, buy the green jug, nominate this shelter, and they will start getting free litter. And it's a powerful thing. I was at a fundraiser for the Michiana Humane Society last week, and this is not a huge society. It's very important to the Michiana area, and they buy 13,000 pounds a year of cat litter. So, I mean, and that's just one shelter out there in Michiana. And
it's crazy.
Right. We're now shipping full truckloads to Iowa, to the east. I mean, these shelters who have gotten behind, what they do is they actually email their donor base and say, look, we don't need money from you today. We need you to go out and nominate us on catspride.com, and we need you and everyone you know to start buying the green jug so that we can get free cat litter.
And, you know, here's the other great thing. Cat's Pride in the green jug, the fresh and light, is the most superior brand there is out there. And just tell our listeners a few bullet points as to why. They're not only saving lives, and it's all this donation and saving the shelters money, but you're getting a superior product as well.
Absolutely. Look, with all due respect to our competitors who are very good, they are known for other things. So Nestle is known as a food company. You know, Clorox is house cleaning products. And so this is who we're competing with. All we do at Oil Dry is absorbent minerals. So our mission statement is creating value from sorbent minerals. And so this is really all we do. So we wake up every morning making sure we send the absolute best product out to our customers. And, you know, like anybody else, we're not always perfect, but we're always learning and we're always improving. And our ratings out there on the web have gone up, up, up.
Yeah, on e-commerce, I mean, we're seeing continued positive feedback. We're north of 4 stars in almost all cases across the line in the green jug. And it's really exciting. So when you talk about the attributes of that particular clay, we started our initial foundation was 25% lighter. Now we're up to 50% lighter. So we continue to also contribute to the carbon footprint in taking away trucks off the roads right
now. It's just win-win-win. It gets better and better and better. And then Catherine Heigl is one of your spokespersons, right? And there's commercials running right now on television with Catherine Heigl. And you'll see her sort of in the stores as well. There's like the standees of her and things like that. So talk about the stores. Well, first of all, folks, I do encourage you to go to catspride.com and join, and then nominate your shelter, because that's really important. That's the first step in helping this whole process. And then everybody that can buy the Cat's Pride you know, get the green jug. That'll help as well. But we want to know where it's at. Where can you get Cat's Pride?
Sure. So let me just hit a couple places. Now, first of all, our reach on this beautiful station can go all the way to Florida. So I'm going to start there with Publix. And Publix, we are on a two-week BOGO. So when you talk about free, buy one, get one free. Get out to your local store there, and you'll see us on advertising at this juncture. Walmart is out there. Albertson's, Safeway in the current Monopoly program. We're going to be going into the second wave of that program, and those displays are out there. You can see Dan and Catherine sitting out there on a display, and it's pretty awesome. And we talk about the infamous e-commerce sector. I mean, the clicks that he's getting, I think, what were you up to, 450?
Over 400,000, yeah.
So he's hanging right there with Catherine.
Wow.
And again, if you don't want to go to a store, you've got Amazon.com, you've got Chewy.com, and you've got Walmart.com. And again, it's ease of shopping through e-commerce. And just a couple other points. Meijer here. Jewel, obviously, is inside the Albertsons Safeway sector. So it's really exciting to see, again, the momentum. We are going to be punching our ticket Monday, tomorrow, on a record year of movement on the Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care. So we're really excited.
Very, very, very good. All right, join the club. Go to catspride.com. Now, Dan and Dave, do something else very special for our listeners, only our listeners here on WGN, and that is they give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to a lucky winner each and every month. All you have to do is send a picture of your cat to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. All right. We are going to pick that lucky winner right now. Dave's going to do it, okay? Drum roll, please.
Drum roll, please. Here comes Mike. Digging deep. We've got a winner.
All right.
And it is Bernie Bauer and his cat Rizzo. And he is from Oswego, Illinois.
All right. Repeat it one more time.
Bernie Bauer. The cat is Rizzo. I wonder where he got that cat's name. Probably a cubby. Oswego, Illinois.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks, guys. Thank you very much. And happy Easter, happy Passover, and so great to see you guys. Thanks for all you do for all of these cats and dogs and all these shelters all across the country. You guys are doing great work. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Well, thank you. We're proud to sponsor your show.
Oh, thanks,
and thanks
Dan.
For having us.
Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much. All right, well, make sure you get your pictures in for next month because they'll be back here next month. You might be the next lucky winner of a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. All right, so do we have any spots to go to or can we go right into our show? Go into our show? All right, we're gonna start our first program. It's an Easter show, Life with Luigi. This is my mother's favorite classic radio show. She loves J. Carroll Nash as Luigi Basco. Let's go back to April 8th, 1952. This is the Easter birthday party, part one of Life with Luigi.
The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum invite you to enjoy Life, Life with Luigi, a comedy show created by Cy Howard, directed by Mack Benhoff, and starring that celebrated actor, Mr. J. Carroll Nash, with Alan Reed as Pasquale. Now, Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum brings you Luigi as he writes another letter describing his adventures in America to his Mama Basco in Italy.
Dear my mommy, there's the one thing I'm crazy about, and that's the holidays in America. Has the one noisy holiday here, Mamma Mia, it's the 4th of July, which is celebrate America's independence from England. That's right, Mamma Mia. England is once owned America, but she's no good to keep up with the payments. But right now is a double holiday, Easter and Ross's birthday. Who want to know biggest secret, Mamma Mia? I'm going to save up $40 since January, and this Sunday, I'm going to make a big Easter dinner and invite all of my school friends, and a Pasquale and a Rosa. You see, this dinner is also going to be a surprise party for us. And don't ask me, Mamma Mia, how old she is. When I'm asking Pasquale, he says she's almost 30, but when I'm looking around her middle, I think she's almost 60. And I'm going to buy Russ a beautiful birthday present, too, to surprise her. And with the rest of the money, I'm going to buy enough food for everybody so they should have busted. But right now, Mommy, I'm going to my night school and invite all of my friends to my Easter dinner. I'm going to hardly wait to tell them.
All right, Jules, don't worry about it.
Quiet, class. I'll call the roll. Mr. Basco?
I'm here.
Mr. Horowitz?
Yeah.
Mr. Olson?
Yes.
Mr. Schultz?
Hippity-hop.
Mr. Schultz, stop that.
Oh, thank you, Miss Pauling. At my age, I'm getting too hippie to hop. How much smile, fellow boobers. Let's see that Easter spirit.
Hey, fellow friends, before I forget, I want everybody to know you all invited for my big Easter dinner, and this is Sunday.
Oh, how nice.
Oh, Luigi, yeah. That's nice, but won't it be too much trouble for you?
Joho, after all, Luigi, you have no wife to cook.
I'm going to worry, friends. I'm going to cook myself.
Him, Luigi's going to dive into the pressure cooker and set himself for 30 minutes. Don't be so impulsive with that dinner, Luigi. Making a meal for a lot of people is no cinch.
Oh, well, don't worry about me. I'm wonderful a cooker, Schultz. And I'm saved up so much money, nobody's got to eat for 2 days before the dinner.
Well, thank you, Mr. Basco. At this time, however, I think we should begin the lesson. Mm-hmm. Class, today I'm going to review some of the more troublesome grammar rules. Mr. Horowitz, you may tell us the plural of calf.
Calves. In the plural, the F changes to V-E-S.
Good. Mr. Basco, the plural of jacket.
Jackets.
Mr. Schultz, the word pants.
Pants?
Yes, is it singular or plural?
But both. It's singular on top and plural on bottom. I love those old jokes.
Mr. Olson, you may tell him the answer.
I will be happy to. The word pants is always plural.
Then how about if we had trousers?
That's always plural, too.
Himmel, I can't buy a suit with one pair of pants in this place.
All right, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Olson, that was very good. Now, let us go on to verbs. Mr. Basco, you may name the two types of verbs.
What is active and passive?
Mr. Horowitz, define them.
With pleasure. An active verb shows action. A passive verb shows passion.
What? Mr. Horowitz, where did you learn that?
Yeah, and where can we get a hold of that book?
Please, please. Now, will somebody tell us the difference between an active verb and a passive verb? Mr. Schultz.
All right. The active verb ain't passive, and the passive verb ain't active.
I'm in no mood for jokes. I'll give you a zero for that answer.
Well, I'm in no mood for bargaining. I'll take it.
Mr. Olson, you tell him.
To be sure. The active verb denotes the subject as acting. The passive verb denotes the subject as acted upon.
Correct. Now, Mr. Basco, give a sentence. Would you give a sentence illustrating each type of verb?
All right. Sentence with the active verb. I'm now going to invite the whole class to my Easter party this Sunday. Now, please, don't bring nothing because I'm going to supply all the food. There's going to be plenty of wine, potatoes, milk, pies. Please come at 6 o'clock a shop. Thank you.
Yeah. Is that one sentence, Mr. Basco?
Sign Sean Hancock on the bottom and you got the Declaration of Independence. Smile, Miss Spalding. He really wants us for his Easter dinner, can't you see?
Well.
No, please come, Miss Spalding, because besides the being Easter party, it's also going to be a big surprise party for us.
Well, I'd like to. Sunday, did you say?
Yeah, please come, Miss. Miss Spalding, I'm going to save up $40 to make sure there's going to be enough food for everybody.
Now, how could anybody refuse him, Miss Spalding? He's like the Marshall Plan looking for countries.
Well, sure. I'll be glad to come.
Good. Well, I got my girl. Now, you fellas pick your own.
Mr. Schultz.
That's right. I'm going to buy turkey and lots of the crumbs that'll be... Crumbs are better. That's the sauce.
Wonderful, because last Thanksgiving, you know, the cranberry sauce was so delicious, the turkey ate it up before we did. Ach, be happy, friends. We're going to have a wonderful time.
Mr. Basco, does Mr. Pasquale know you're making this surprise party for Rosa?
Oh, no, and please, don't nobody tell him. After school, I'm going to invite him and Rosa to the party.
Luigi, how much money did you say he was going to spend on food?
Well, I'm going to get $40, and a Feroz is a present, and is a $30 for the food.
Uh-uh.
Is that not going to be enough, Schultz?
For six normal people, that's plenty. But with Rosa's appetite included, bring your own sandwiches, kid.
Rosa, stop eating and pay attention.
All right, Papa.
Now, look, baby, I don't want that you should invite anybody to your birthday party. It's just for Luigi.
You mean I can't come, Papa?
Oh, stop. I mean Luigi's going to be the only guest.
Oh.
And can you guess why Luigi's going to be the only one invited, my daughter?
Sure. Then there'll be more cake for us.
Yes. No! And don't do what you did the last year's birthday cake when you ate up all the candles. Look, Bambina, I want you to dress up especially nice for your party, eh? Wear that black, shiny dress that makes you look skinny, eh?
Oh, Papa, can I wear my Mexican skirt? That makes me look skinny, don't it?
Makes you look like a Mexico.
That's the first portion of Life with Luigi from 1952. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, we're listening to Life with a Luigi, which is my mom's favorite radio show. She's 89 and three quarters years old, and she remembers listening to Life with Luigi. Her favorite show, and also Dr. Kildare. That was her other favorite program. I just saw her earlier for Easter, and I told her, Ma, I have a Life with Luigi coming up tonight. She's like, all right, I'm going to listen. So that's what we're doing. Let's go back to April 8th, 1952. Here's the conclusion now to Life with Luigi.
What a nice and romantic party is going to be. Just the three of us. And after a while, I'm going to tiptoe out and go to the movies.
Oh!
What's the matter? What are you belly aching about?
I want to see the picture, too!
Look, go on ahead. Luigi's a coming. Go in the kitchen before you spoil everything.
All right, Papa.
Hello, Pasquale.
Hello, little pumpkin head. How was the school today?
Oh, it was up pretty good.
Hey, your heads are getting bigger.
Huh?
Luigi, I bet your brain must have gained 10 or 12 pounds since you started pushing education inside.
No, well, Pasquale, I'm coming to invite you to big Easter dinner that I'm giving this Sunday.
Huh? Luigi, that's a funny thing, but I was going to invite you to a party this Sunday.
You? What? Who else are you invited, Pasquale?
Just to you.
Pasquale, what are you talking about? No, you got to come to my party. I'm invited to lots of people.
I don't care. You got to come to mine.
No, Pasquale, the whole thing is crazy. Hey, you got to come to my party.
No, you must come to my party.
No, wait a minute, Pasquale, because I'm already invited all of my school friends and Miss Paulding too, and we're going to have a big Easter dinner all together.
Big dinner with everybody. I want it just the three of us.
Yeah, but are you going to be there, Pasquale? Well, in fact, I'm saved for 3 months for this party, Pasquale, and I'm got $40 of cash.
I don't care for $40.
Huh? Yeah.
Let me see the money.
Yeah, sure. Here, look.
Yeah, let me hold him, eh? That's all right. $40. Well, thanks, Luigi. This pays for last December's rent.
Oh, no, Pasquale, you can't. Pasquale, I'm a promise to pay you everything I'm owed.
Sorry, Luigi, I'm sorry. In the landlord's union, we got a very strict rule. The NTG.
NTG, what's that?
No trust for greenhorns.
No, but Pasquale, how am I going to pay for my Easter dinner? What am I going to tell all of my friends?
Tell them whatever you want to tell them. Tell them you're not a Democrat or a Republican. Are you a man or without a party?
Well, my Pasquale just took away my $40, and I'm not going to make the big Easter dinner for my friends. I'm so mad at Pasquale, I'm going to tell him what is for, and I'm going to feel terrible. First, I'm going to thought maybe I'm going to telephone my friends and stop everything, but then I'm going to thought I'm have a better idea. I'm going to get all of the food on a credit, so I'm going to go to Astro's fruit store first. Oh, hello, Astra. You mind if I'm get some fruit from you? On a credit?
For you, Luigi, anytime. Here, have an apple.
Oh, apple. Well, now I'm like to make up the order.
Order? Oh, okay, what is it?
Well, I'm like 10 upon apples, 15 upon grapes, 8 upon pears, 6 dozen of bananas, and a 12 upon a nuts.
Hey, what are you doing, Luigi? Making a Tarzan picture? I don't mind giving you credit on fruit if you're hungry, but when you start throwing parties for the zoo.
Oh, Astram. I'm not making a party for the zoo, Astram. I'm making a bigger party for my friends.
I'm sorry, Luigi. For parties, I got no credit. After all, I'm running this fruit market for profits. You think bananas and oranges and apples grow on trees?
All right. Thank you, Astra.
Don't mention it.
Hello, Mr. Warner. How's the butcher business?
Oh, pretty good, Basco. What can we do for you today?
Well, Mr. Warner, I'm making a bigger Easter dinner tomorrow, and I'm going to get...
I've got just the thing, Basco. A 20-pound turkey, fit for a king. Isn't that nice?
That's a beautiful... I'll go ahead and charge it.
Oh, I'm sorry, Basco. That's against company rules. But if you're short on cash, I'll be glad to okay your check.
That's no good. My check is short on the cashier, too.
Oh, I'm sorry, Basco.
I'm more sorry than you. Well, is it no use? I'm going to call off for the party. But I'm not going to never to call him up. I'm too ashamed. I think I'm going to sit down on the park bench. Excuse me, mister.
Huh?
Mind if I'm going to sit down next to you?
Be my guest.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Mama, me want to sure do call off for the party, no call off, call off, no call off, call him off, no call off.
Would you like a daisy friend to help you make up your mind?
Excuse me, I'm talking to myself. You ever talking to yourself?
Oh, brother, don't remind me. What's your trouble? Drink?
Uh-huh. How do you know?
I could tell. We're the same type. Soft inside. No willpower. Well, tell me about it.
Well, it's not only drinks, but it's also food and a fruit.
Huh?
Yeah, and a birthday cake and a present and a no nuts.
What? Look, friend, maybe you better talk to yourself.
No, please help me. I'm always to save up my money for a party for my friends, but then somebody is to take it away. I got nothing to feed them, and I'm ashamed to call them up and tell them about it.
Did you say they was your friends?
Uh-huh.
Then your problem is solved.
What?
Because a friend is a friend. True blue to the end. Food or no food? I know. Because I had a friend. My mother. She never fed me, never gave me no food. But still, I was her friend.
At the watch of you, Mamma Mia.
That's right. Mother, wherever you are, I want you to know we're still friends. I ain't changed at all. I'm still hungry. Go, friend, go. Give your party, invite your friends, say nothing, and they'll enjoy themselves with friendship.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, thank you. You're making me feel good all over. And I'm going to back it out to my antique shop, fix it up nice and pretty, and then goodbye. Give him my regards to you, Mom.
Thanks, friend.
Oh. Hey, look, maybe you want to come to my party, too?
Are you kidding? You ain't got nothing to eat.
What kind of a party is this? There's no food.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, Schultz.
Yeah, now, don't say anything. He feels terrible enough.
She's coming out of the kitchen.
All right, everybody. Since this is the party, it's Luigi's idea. I propose a toast to the host.
Yeah.
May he find in America happiness, health, and wealth. Minus 20% for the government.
Diamond click, Luigi.
Well, thank you, Frenzy. You are so wonderful. Mama, what a proposal toast.
Luigi, I don't mind all this toasting, but ain't the champagne a little weak?
Well, it's not the champagne.
is a seltzer.
What's the difference?
You're sure seltzer or champagne?
Oh, yeah, after all, what's seltzer if not champagne that's given blood?
Yeah, it's funny. Yes, that's really funny. Anything?
Why don't we all sing a song?
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful idea.
All right, what song should we sing?
How about Turkey in the Straw?
Right now, I'll settle for a weenie in a bun.
Please, Mr. Schultz. How about Shrimp Boats Are Coming? I'm sorry, Mr. Basco.
That's all right, Miss Puddinger. Even I was thinking about the who's a throw the overalls in the Mrs. Murphy's soup. And,
Rosa, today we're teaching Luigi a big lesson. His friends came for a feast and they're going to have a fast.
Papa, everybody's singing over there. You think Luigi got food someplace?
This I better investigate. Watch the restaurant, Rosa. Stubborn little cabbage puss. Gives me nothing but a trouble and a headache. Since I imported him from Italy, my life is just one big aspirin. Luigi's putting up his hand like he's going to make a big speech. I better open up the door a little.
Francis, isn't I used to pretend that we all are having a lot of fun? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to make a confession.
Never mind the confession. Bring on the food.
Oh, sure.
After the trouble of Schultz, I'm not got enough food.
Luigi, you're joking, huh?
That Luigi is pulling our leg.
The way I feel now, if he pulled my leg, my stomach would drop out.
He's a suffering good.
Mr. Basco, what happened to the $40 you had?
Pasquale is a tucker for the rent money.
Pasquale, tell us.
No, please. I'm not want to talk about it.
But, Mr. Basco, didn't you tell Mr. Pasquale that this party was to be a surprise birthday celebration for his daughter?
What?
Well, I know, Miss Pudding. He's hurt to me so much, I don't even want to tell him.
Huh?
Now I got no food and no birthday cake for us and no present.
Oh, I could kill that Pasquale.
What's he talking about? I could have killed myself. Oh, I'm the stupidest thing that ever lived. I'm a mean, terrible, rotten, stupid. Right now, if I was a twins, I'd have stopped talking to myself for good. What am I going to do? I got to make it up to Luigi. I know. Rosa!
Yes, Papa?
Put on your apron and get in the kitchen. Are we going to cook them a dinner that would sink in a Queen Mary?
But, Papa,
don't
what?
Ask no questions, just to warm up in the oven. I'm going to make a food for Luigi's. You're going to have enough for 100 years.
Stop looking so depressed.
Sure, so what if he don't eat?
Sure, food isn't so important. And besides, we're not too hungry. Are we, sure?
I'm too weak to answer.
Luigi, everybody, listen, I got a great big idea. Instead of one big Easter party, we're going to have 3 or 4 little ones in a row.
4 little ones in a row, what do you mean?
Well, we'll have like a round robin. In my house, we eat the appetizer.
I know what you mean, Horowitz. That's a wonderful idea. Appetizer in your house, the entree in my house.
Dessert in my house.
In my house, bicarbonate of soda.
How am I going to thank you for such a wonderful idea?
Luigi, I'm the happiest man in the world. I thought of it. Go ahead, eat.
Yeah, but this is that's the dishes. What do you call it?
It's called a forspice. Chopped liver.
It's very tasty, Mr. Horowitz. What is your wife's recipe?
Sorry, Miss Spalding. That's an international secret.
Rosa, hurry up with the meatballs while I fix these pies. Turn up the flame. They must be starving in Luigi's stall by now.
All right, Papa.
And Rosa, don't eat anything.
Oh!
I bet if they saw these meatballs, they'd go crazy.
Papa, what do you think's happening to me?
Mr. Schultz, this turkey is wonderful.
Oh, they were superb. A gourmet's delight.
Very good, Schultz. Very good.
Yeah, I made it so much, I think I'm going to bust it.
So what's a happy explosion between friends?
How's the spaghetti roast? Almost a cup?
Almost, Papa.
This lasagna's going to give them an Easter dinner they never going to forget. Rosa, stop looking that way at the pizza.
But, Papa, I'm starving, starving.
Rosa, listen, right next door is a 5 starving of people waiting for all this food, and we owe Luigi a lot for the wrong we did to him. Besides, Rosa, why you keep looking at me so funny?
I can't help it, Papa. I'm so hungry. You look to me like one big meatball.
Friends, I don't know what to say. I'm so full up with the tanks.
So full of food. Ach, Miss Spalding, you make it wonderful coffee.
Well, I did the least. Mr. Olson, this dessert tastes just heavenly.
How did this boil? Olson, what do you call it?
It looks like the pancakes.
In Sweden, we call it plätter. Back home, many families eat it, especially on Thursdays, with pea soup.
Oh, with the pieces. Hannah, this is sauce. That's delicious. So what do you call that?
There was lingonberries. In Sweden, we use it just like applesauce.
Go on, Olden, keep on talking. I feel like I'm eating a dessert with a travelogue.
You know, friends, I'm so full now, I feel like I ate into 1953.
Yeah, me too. If anybody mentioned food to me now, I think I would float away.
Yeah. Well, enough, friends, please. Maybe we all go back to my antique shop and we just sit back and relax and maybe just talk, huh?
It's a good idea, Luigi. Let's go. Charles, get up.
Impossible. I think the automobile club will have to tow me to Luigi's store.
Is it just so nice to sit down here and rest, huh?
Oh, Joe.
Friends?
Oh, we enjoyed a feast fit for a king, by golly.
Yeah, this is one Easter I'll never forget. That food.
No, please, don't mention food. It gives my stomach a headache.
Well, I certainly...
Come on in, Rosa. Don't drop the pot. All right, stop sitting around, everybody. Happy Easter. Look at what I got, food.
Oh.
What's the matter? You all died from starvation?
Oh, Barney, please, go away.
Look, everybody, it's all free on the house, gratis. Plenty of spaghetti, meatballs, and pizza.
No, Pasquale, Pasquale, you know, we was all went out, and then we was eating at each other's houses.
Yeah, we had a door-to-door feast.
What? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, go away, Pasquale, and take everything with you.
Well, it's a serving me right. I deserve everything.
Well, Pasquale, tell the truth. The only thing I'm feeling bad about now is I'm didn't get a Russian birthday present. If I'm ahead of my Rosa, I would have given you anything you wanted.
Hey, you hear that, Rosa? Anything. And what do you want? Can't it be bought with the money, huh?
You're right, Papa. Luigi, can I have anything I want?
Anything, Rosa.
Stand back, everybody. All this food belongs to me.
Well, Mamma Mia, we was had a wonderful feast this Easter, and after all, even Rush has got a big birthday present. 7.5 pounds to be exact. It wasn't a hurry to have a wonderful idea, Mamma Mia, what is it called, Round Robin? And Mamma Mia, when you get this letter, make yourself a little glass of coffee, because I'm going to have some cake. And we're going to have our own Round Robin together. Your loving son, Luigi Basco, Lily McGrant.
There you have it. Life with Luigi, April 8th, 1952. And a good show starring J. Carroll Nash along with Alan Reed. He was Pasquale on that program, and originally sponsored by Wrigley Spearmint Gum, but that was an Armed Forces Radio rebroadcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Well, I like Jimmy John's.
I can eat Jimmy John's.
I like Jimmy John's a lot. I didn't have Jimmy John's for Easter dinner, though. But I like going to Jimmy John's. They make good sandwiches.
Yeah, they do.
What did you have for Easter dinner?
ham, pierogies, some rice.
Wow. Where'd you get that all at?
Denise brought it from her parents, actually.
Oh, that was nice.
I hung out at home all day.
Yeah, very cool. I went with my sister, Carlene, and her daughter, Ilana. I took my mom, two of my three kids, CJ and Rachel, and we went to Cooper's Hawk restaurant in Wheeling.
Okay.
And it was outstanding. And
usually
that
is.
That's not a paid endorsement. I'm just saying I paid my bill there. It was very, very good. Very good. Everybody liked it. And then my sister ordered this big giant cookie with ice cream on it.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
like, no, I can't have any of that.
I think I've ordered that before.
Because I'm starting the Copenhagen diet.
I heard.
Tuesday morning. Roger?
Yeah, you got talked into it, huh, by David?
Yeah, because I'm tired. I mean, I've been doing the Haagen-Dazs diet now for a while.
Yeah.
And that's the results have not been pretty. So I've decided.
You're not going to believe this. This is so funny. But Johnny Putnam of Stephen Johnny.
Yeah.
So this afternoon when I woke up after working last night with you guys, before I started getting ready, I was checking my Facebook, and there on my Facebook page, she had posted Haagen-Dazs. A link to the Haagen-Dazs page.
That's
it was so
great.
Funny.
Oh, that's great. I love Stephen Johnny. I love them.
So you're going off the Haagen-Dazs diet
on
Tuesday.
I'm going to go off the Haagen-Dazs, Monday night I'll go off of it.
Right.
And then I'm going to start the same diet that Dave Plyer did. Because I tell you what, he looks like Superman. He looks fantastic.
He was buffed.
He's all buffed out.
Yeah.
He's like, he looks really, really good.
Yeah.
And he lost 22 pounds in two weeks.
That's crazy. Is that how it was? 2 weeks?
Two weeks.
That's what I thought he said.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And it's pretty strict, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty strict cleanse, you know. I'm going to do it, though, because I am tired of looking at my not seeing my shoes anymore. I can't see what shoes I'm wearing.
You know how you can see your shoes?
How?
Take them off your feet and hold them on.
Exactly. All right, well, I'm gonna do it. I might be a little crabby. You know, you got to be careful. Next week, I could be pretty crabby. I'll be right in the middle of that thing.
I don't know. I could tempt you with some sweets next week.
You can, but I'm not going to do it. I'm gonna complete this diet.
Sounds
it's only
know,
2 weeks.
You.
I can do it. It's a cleanse.
All right.
So in our next hour, we have Escape with Jack Webb. Good story. And then a detective adventure of the lineup in hour three here on the WGN Radio Theater. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. Mike Estella pinch hitting for Lisa Wolf, who is in Israel. She'll be back next Saturday.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger. Thank you, Esmeralda. It is 8 minutes after midnight. It is Monday morning. Happy Monday morning to you, Mike.
To you as well.
It is no longer April Fool's Day, so if you have not had a chance to play an April Fool's joke on someone, you have to wait 364 more days. Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Nobody played any jokes on me, and I didn't play any jokes on anybody else so far. Well, I can't now.
You can't now.
Well, maybe I'm playing one on you right now. Maybe it's really not April 2nd. Maybe it's...
You know, one of my teaching assistants, he is all about April Fool's.
Is he?
And he does, like, crazy, crazy things. Like, he'll get in contact with a friend in Canada and tell him that he's... like in this city, and he'll look on a map and he'll communicate with him through text. And
I'm here. Come on outside. I'm here.
He does all kinds of crazy things like that.
Yeah. It's a Roger. Any April Fool's jokes?
No, not since I was a little kid.
Okay.
It just wasn't a
April
Fool's.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah. Actually, I was the April Fool, even though I was born in June, I was my parents' April Fool's joke. So,
all right. Well, in this hour, we have one of your favorite radio shows, Roger. We have Escape.
Oh, I love
Escape's a good kind of a adventure show. Jack Webb plays the lead role in this. It's all about a snake, very scary snake. It's called Poison.
Ooh.
From July 28th, 1950. That's coming your way in this hour. But first, we're going to play Cat's Pride. crack the quote, Mike, what's the movie?
The Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises. All right. Call us at 312-981-7200. What do they win?
They're going to win some Twilight Zone radio dramas.
All right. Good stuff. 312-981-7200. Third caller, give us a call right now. Play the game with us on the air. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Pat on the line. Hi, Pat.
Hello, sir.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Hi, Pat. All right. Ready to play the game, Pat?
I certainly am.
All right.
All right. The movie is The Dark Knight Rises. Your job is to figure out which quote I'm about to say here is actually in the film. You ready?
Let's go for it.
All right. Number one, you'll become something else entirely, a legend, if they can't stop you. Number two, you don't owe these people anymore. You've given them everything.
Hey, Pat, can you lower your radio a little bit, buddy? Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. And go ahead, Mike.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
And number three is, and make no mistake, deception is a powerful weapon.
One more time. Read them again for Pat.
So number one is, you'll become something else entirely, a legend, if they can't stop you.
I don't think it's that one.
Okay. Number two, you don't owe these people anymore. You've given them everything. And number three, and make no mistake, deception is a powerful weapon.
I believe it's number two.
Believes it's number two.
I like that one, too. Yeah, I'm going to say number three.
You're going to say number three,
yeah.
Shantae.
Roger, what do you think?
Okay. Yeah, number two sounds totally like not part of the film, which makes me think it is part of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with number two.
What do you think, Shantae? Well, Shantae knows, doesn't she?
Yeah.
No? Can't ask Shantae. She knows. All right, so Roger, what did you say? Number
two.
Number two. So Pat and Roger, number two, and I'm going to say number three.
All right, Shantae,
here we
what
go.
Do we got?
You don't owe these people anymore. You've given them everything.
Which one was that?
Number two?
Number two.
Ah, you guys won.
So
good
Pat
job.
And Roger did get it.
Wow, Pat. Way to go,
nice
buddy.
Nice job, Pat.
You're a winner.
So, Pat,
right,
we're gonna send you a 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas hosted by Stacey Keach.
All right. And there you go, Pat. Thanks for listening to the show. You're a winner. Appreciate you.
All right. Take care.
Take care. All right. Thank you. In this hour, as I said, escape. And if you want to text us, 312-981-7200. That's our text in line. And make sure you check out our website at WGNRadioTheater.com. WGNRadioTheater.com. All kinds of fun stuff there, including our schedule. All right. You ready for Escape? Escape was radio's greatest series of high adventure. It came to radio in 1947, lasted 7 seasons. And the interesting thing about Escape was it really never had a sponsor. Just here and there would be a sponsor for a few months. But for its 7-year run, primarily, it was never sponsored, which means that they really never sprung for the big-name stars, right? You never had Humphrey Bogart on here or Cary Grant or any of those kind of people. Those people were always on Suspense, the kind of the cousin show to Escape. Escape and Suspense were cousins. And the reason why you had those big-name stars on Suspense is because Suspense was always sponsored. You had Roma Wines, you had Autolite spark plugs, but Escape didn't. But what they did do was rely on great supporting actors for the lead roles and supporting roles. And this particular show, Jack Webb stars. Now, you might think, well, Jack Webb was a big name, but not in 1950. He was kind of just starting to come into his own with radio, and he really wasn't in any movies yet or not on television yet either. But, of course, he was Sergeant Joe Friday, but he was becoming a big name. But at this time, he was really just kind of a radio supporting guy. He was on a lot of radio shows. And you will hear him in this episode called Poison. Now, this particular show is sponsored by Richfield Oil. But as I said, Richfield Oil and the few sponsors they had would come in for a month or two. They never really attracted a long-term sponsor. But it is interesting to hear this because you will hear a sponsor on here. Let's go back to July 28th, 1950 for Poison, starring Jack Webb, part one now of Escape.
Tired of the everyday routine? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all?
We offer you Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. Escape, brought to you by your Richfield gasoline dealer and the Richfield Oil Corporation of New York. Marketers of Richfield gasolines with Xylene, Rich Lube, all-weather motor oil, and other famous petroleum products. Look for the Richfield Eagle on the cream and blue pumps.
Tonight, we escape to India, and the story of a man trapped in his bed by a crate, the most deadly, poisonous snake in the world, as Raoul Dahl tells it in his terrifying story, Poison.
Listen, it's an awful good story, but to get the point, you gotta understand about two things. What kind of a guy Harry Pope was, and what kind of a snake a crate is. First, the crate. You spell it K-R-A-I-T. They're in India, the crates are. Little snakes, sometimes not more than 3 or 4 inches long. You have to look real careful if you're going to see one at all. Really almost like a worm. Except that it's the most poisonous snake in the world. It can bite faster than a bumblebee, and when it does, you go off like a firecracker, swell up like a hot water bottle, and in fly the angels. Crate. Tiny little snake. Now about Harry. Harry Pope. Funny guy. He had it in for anybody who wasn't American, who didn't speak his language. He called them foreigners, and he called them that army word, gook. Didn't matter if they were French, Italian, or Japanese. Gook. Foreigner, he'd say. It's kind of buggy on the subject. Funny guy. Well, Harry and me, we got sent out to Bombay on this construction job, and that's where the trouble started. You see, except for the two of us, the crew was made up of local boys, Hindus and Muslims, 40 of them. Harry was like a cat in a room full of dogs, had his back up every minute. After a month or so, it began to wear him out. Got so his appetite wasn't right. He was smoking 3 and 4 packs a day, and he wasn't getting his sleep. I used to try to straighten him out. Used to tell him he was wrong.
Nah, Woody, there's no use talking.
Listen,
to you.
Harry, they're all good boys. Why don't you take it easy?
Woody, you and I are good friends, but there are a lot of things you just don't understand.
You ought to take it easy, Harry. They're all human beings, just like you and me.
They're gooks, Woody. Foreigners. Look it. Think about it this way. How'd you like your sister to marry one of them?
I haven't got a sister, and anyway, you've asked me that before.
Yeah, you see? You won't even make the effort to understand.
Well, that's how it was with Harry, and you know about the crate. Now about what happened. It was June of last year. It was hot and sticky, even though the sun was down. I was putting on a clean shirt to go out.
Oh, man, I'm really beat tonight. What's with you, Woody? What's the clean shirt for?
Going out.
What do you got, a date?
No, I thought I'd stop off at Dr. Ganderby's. He promised he'd show me the photos he made down in the leper colony.
Ganderby?
Yeah. These photos are supposed to be pretty interesting stuff. How about it, Harry? Would you like to come along?
Ganderby? He's a Hindu. A gook. Foreigner. I don't want to spend no evening with a gook. Shoot, not old Harry.
So I went off to the doctor's, and Harry went to bed with the detective story. I had a very interesting evening. Later, old Harry was plenty sorry that he stayed home. I didn't leave the doctor's until around midnight, and when I drove back through the sleeping city, it was very quiet and dark. I thought about the pictures of the lepers I'd seen. I remember thinking, I hope Harry's awake because I'd like to tell him about those pictures. And when I got home, I was glad to see the light in his room was still burning.
Harry, you up?
I didn't get an answer. Probably fell asleep reading.
Harry, you awake, Harry?
Shh. Woody, stop yelling.
Harry, boy, what's the matter, kid?
Shh. Stop, Woody. Take off your shoes.
I couldn't tell what was the matter, but I knew he was serious, whatever it was about, so I did what he wanted. was in bed, under his netting, with a reading light on, his book on the floor. He lay quite still, and the sheet came halfway up his chest. He was wearing those corny pajamas of his with the big checks all over him. And the pajamas were soaked in the sweat that was rolling off his face. He lay like a corpse, flat on his back, with his hands lying dead on the bed. His hands, even the backs of them, were sweating. His eyes looked like he was watching somebody saw his leg off.
Woody, what's the matter, boy?
Shh. It's a crepe.
Crepe? Where?
Shh, for Mary's sake, shh.
Where? Where's the crepe?
In here.
Under the netting?
No. Under the sheet.
Where'd it bite you?
It hasn't. Yet.
Where under the sheet?
Right on my belly.
Holy son of a...
You can wake it up if you don't cut out that yellow.
How'd it get in there?
I don't know. Came up under the net, I guess. But it's been in a bed all day.
Is it a big one?
No. Crate don't have to be big. Looked about 3 or 4 inches. Come along my side. I didn't move. It went under the sheet. One of them folds. One of them wrinkles there over my belly.
How long ago did it come?
Hours. Hours and hours and days and weeks. Woody, I've been waiting a year for you to get home.
It must be sleeping in there, huh?
Yeah, I think it is.
Why, now listen, Harry. Maybe it'll wake up and go away. Go home or something, huh?
I can't wait, Woody. I've been lying here scared I'd move sudden and wake it up.
Yeah, you're scared and it'll bite.
I've been lying here scared to death I'd cough.
All right, don't you worry about a thing, Harry. I know just what to do.
Where you going, Woody? Don't leave me.
The thing was to be ready to cauterize the bite right away. I'd heard about one method. I went out to the kitchen, and I got a whole fistful of those big kitchen matches, and I took them back to the bedroom. Arranged them all with the heads together. Held them like you'd hold a torch.
What are you going to do? What are the matches for?
Now listen, Harry, here's how it goes. These will cauterize, see? So we count three, flip back the sheet, and you jump out of bed. Now you follow me?
You're out of your mind.
No, no, listen, Harry. If the crate bites you, I strike the bundle and press it against the spot, and it burns out the poison, see? Well, the matches...
Get away from me. You're a bubble-headed maniac.
No, Harry, I'm only trying to...
Shh. Listen, Woody, take your matches and your bright ideas and get the heck out of here. Call the doctor.
The doctor? I never thought of that.
Shh. Now get to it.
Okay, Harry. Who do you want? Ganderby or Forsythe?
Forsythe. Things are bad enough without you. Gotta bring that gook in here.
I dug through the telephone book and I found Dr. Matson B. Forsythe's number and I dialed it.
Police?
Yeah, let me speak to the doctor. It's very urgent.
Who is calling, please?
Arthur Woods.
Who?
Woods. Arthur Woods.
Spell, please.
Woods. W.
W.
O.
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 You have already said O. I have already written O. Have the kindness to give me the next letter, please.
O. It's O after O.
Please?
Look, my name is Woods.
Spell, please.
W-O-O-D...
W-O-O... Aha!
D-S, Woods.
Woods, W-O-O-D-S. Mr. Woods.
That's right, that's just right. Now, let me speak to the doctor, please.
Sorry, doctor not in. Call tomorrow.
Across the room, Harry lay very still, sweating, trying to keep every muscle relaxed. His face was beginning to twitch a little. I was scared. If that twitch should spread, I called the doctor's house again.
Please, I do not understand.
Look, I said if you don't tell me where the doctor is, I'm going to come over there and pull your arms off, and then I'm going to take you by the neck and...
The doctor is at the club, please.
What club?
The country club. Ring 673...
Harry lay very still, fighting the twitches, trying to keep from jumping out of his skin, while I waited for the bartender at the club to locate Dr. Forsythe. After about 5 minutes and nothing, I got this.
Are you there?
Listen, doctor, you gotta get over here right away. This is Arthur Woods, and my partner. He's got a snake in the bed with him. Doctor?
would you mind repeating that, old boy?
I said snake. He's got a snake in the bed with him.
Snake? Oh,
Jolly, jolly. I say, who is this? Is this Captain Smythe speaking?
Please, Doctor, you got to get over here right away. It's urgent.
Smythe, you can't. You don't fool me. Not for an instant, you don't.
Oh, please, Doctor.
It's making bed.
Listen, is this Dr. Forsythe speaking?
Of course not. It's Colonel Harcourt.
Oh, well, let me speak to the doctor, please.
Oh, but you can't, old fellow.
Why not?
Why, he's jolly well passed out, don't you know?
Passed out?
Like a mackerel. Snake in the...
Listen, Harry, you gotta forget all this prejudice stuff. Gander buys your only chance.
No. No, he's a gook.
He went to Oxford, Harry.
He's a gook.
It's him or the Undertaker.
He's a gook.
I'm gonna call him, Harry.
All right. Go ahead, call it. But he's a gook.
All right, that's the first portion of Escape with Poison, starring Jack Webb. And as Roger Badish pointed out, today, April 2nd, is Jack Webb's birthday. He was born in 1920. So this worked out that way. We're playing a Jack Webb episode on his birthday.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a good episode of Escape. We'll get back to it in just a few moments.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Esmeralda. Thanks, Roger. It is 12:35 in the morning on Monday morning. I'm trying to think, what are we playing next week, Mike?
I don't recall.
Oh, boy. Next week, we have Boston Blackie.
Your favorite.
My favorite. And you know what? We've had a lot of people asking for You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx. And we have an episode of You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx next week. Then we have Red Rider, good Western. And then The Shadow. A lot of people have been asking for The Shadow. And then we have a Bing Crosby show and Broadway Is My Beat, good crime show, detective kind of adventure. So, wow, good lineup here. We have to thank Lisa for that, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, good job, Lisa.
Boston Blackie, You Bet Your Life, Red Rider, The Shadow, Bing Crosby, and Broadway Is My Beat. That's next Saturday and Sunday, 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. here on the greatest radio station in the world, WGN AM 720. But right now, it's time for the conclusion to Jack Webb starring in Escape.
I called him. When I mentioned crate, he was quiet for a good 10 seconds, and then he said he'd be right over. And he was within 5 minutes. He was wearing felt slippers, and he moved silently into the bedroom. He was carrying his black satchel, and when I saw the lamplight glinting softly in his steel-rimmed spectacles, saw his wise, gentle eyes, his bald brown head, I thought to myself, why, he looks just like Mahatma Gandhi. He looked silently at Harry and smiled encouragingly. Harry looked at him, looked at me, and looked away.
Now, first we must very carefully remove the netting from about the bed. Mr. Pope, I want you to pay no attention to us. You are to concentrate on being very quiet, on letting the little snake sleep. It is a very little snake, and it is very tired. You must tell yourself this. And you must believe it is necessary for it to sleep.
Yeah.
Mr. Wood, help me lift the netting very slowly.
Up.
Good.
What are you going to do for me?
Think about the little snake.
What do you think I'm thinking about? What are you going to do for me?
The snake. It is here?
It's in one of those folds over his... abdomen, Doctor.
Now we all know where it is.
Pretend you are the mother of the little snake. You are keeping it warm. It is sleeping. That is good.
Just so as it don't wake up and want breakfast.
You joke? That is good.
I wish I was back home in the good old USA.
Now then,
what are you going to do, Doctor?
I have a serum here. We will inject it into the blood of Mr. Pope. Then, as he puts it, the little snake may breakfast to his heart's content without harm to Mama.
His hands were brown and slender and astonishingly deft. He poked the hypodermic into a capsule of thick yellowish stuff, the serum, and then with infinite care he drew the plunger slowly and steadily upward. The glistening chamber filled. He withdrew the needle, laid the hypodermic down, and then with all the gentleness in the world, he began to fold back Harry's sleeve. It was as though he were folding rare old lace. He inched the sleeve carefully, under and up Harry's arm until the vein came into view.
I'm going to fasten a tourniquet on your arm now. It will be just above the elbow. Do not move your arm. Do not twitch your muscle.
Gently, gently, he tightened the rubber tourniquet, and Harry's arm began to flush dark. The vein began to swell blue and tight. Harry kept his eyes on the ceiling.
Now I'm going to insert the needle in the vein. You must not react. By that I mean you must not tense your abdominal muscles. Believe me, Mr. Pope, this will not hurt.
Very carefully, he placed the syringe almost flat against the arm, slid the needle in sideways through the skin and into the blue vein, slid it slowly but so firmly that it went in smooth, smooth as a knife going into a cheese.
Doc, shh, shh. You're good, aren't you, Doc?
You must believe that.
You're gonna let me die, are you, Doc?
I'm your friend. You must believe that.
Are you, Doc? You won't let me die.
No, no, I will not let you die. Now, be still and think about that.
With all the care in the world, as he had pushed the needle into the vein, now he pressed the plunger down, pressed the serum through the needle and into Harry Pope's body. I watched Harry. His eyes were on the wise, gentle face of Dr. Ganderby. His eyes wanted desperately to believe what Ganderby had told him. Now the hypodermic was empty, and slowly it was withdrawn. And then slowly the deft, graceful little hands loosened the rubber tourniquet. And then Ganderby looked up, met Harry's eyes, and smiled. Harry tried to smile back, but the smile jumped and twitched and died.
You're taking care of me, huh, Doc?
Yes, my son. Now you must be still while the serum is pumped through your body. Be very still and be very assured. I'm your friend. The serum will save you. You will escape harm.
He beckoned to me and I followed him out of the room and out onto the dark porch. The air was heavy and hot. Ganderby stared out at the blackness, drummed his fingers softly on the railing.
Your friend is in grave danger.
Yeah, but the serum. You gave him the serum.
I gave him the serum.
It isn't any good.
It is the finest known to medical science. And it is worthless.
So there it was. Harry Pope, the man who had been an enemy of anyone and everyone who didn't come from his country or speak his language, was now halfway through death's door. And his only hope lay in a Dr. Ganderby of another race, another creed, another country, and another color. Now, for the first time in his life, Harry had made a gesture of friendship toward a person of another race. First time. And it seemed to me the last.
No, my friend. The serum is worthless.
What can we do then? The snake is bound to wake sooner or later. Harry will move. He won't be able to help himself, and the snake will strike.
We must think.
Look, I'll shoot it. I can hold the gun low and flat so that even if I hit Harry, it won't be a penetrating wound, and I'll blow the snake sheet and all, clear the bed, huh?
But you don't even know which of the many folds and creases in that sheet is the harbor of the snake.
Yeah.
You might shoot the air.
Yeah.
You would most certainly wake the snake then.
No, we can't do that.
I think I have a solution, Mr. Woods.
Yeah?
We will anesthetize the snake. Yes. We will use nitrous oxide, or ether, or chloroform. I think the last. Chloroform, yes.
We put the snake out right while he's lying on Harry, is that the idea?
That is it, Mr. Woods. Now, if you will please drive quickly down to my house, my boy will show you where I keep my supplies. The chloroform is in a bottle with an orange label.
Orange label?
Yes. Bring it back as quickly as you can. I will stay with Mr. Pope and try to keep him assured.
He seems to like you.
We all like the doctor when we are sick.
I drove it as fast as I could. The houseboy at the doctor's thought I was a madman at first, but then he decided in my favor, showed me where the stuff was. I found the bottle with the orange label, smelled it to make sure, and then took off back to the house. I eased the car up the driveway and tiptoed into the bedroom.
You're my friend, doctor, huh? My pal?
Yes, I am your friend, and I am not going to let any harm come to you.
Uh-oh. Is Woody? He's my friend, too, Doc.
Here's the stuff, Doctor.
Woody, I've been an awful dope all my life. You know that, Woody?
It's okay, Harry. You're going to be okay from now on.
The doc here, my friend here, I didn't like him when he first came into the room. Why? Because he wasn't an American or even an Englishman. What do you know about that, huh? He's my friend.
Ah, it's okay, Harry. You're going to be okay now, boy.
I've been a prize dope.
Mr. Woods, you'll have to help me.
Right. He pulled a prescription pad out of his case, tore the cardboard backing off, and twisted it into a neat little funnel. He laid this on the edge of the bed. And then he took the piece of hollow rubber tubing, which had been used as a tourniquet, and he began to slide it into the sheet. It went in where the sheet ended, across Harry's chest. And he slid it down. He slid it slowly, so slowly that although I was watching it, I didn't see it move. Hours seemed to crawl by. The tube inched invisibly on and down, down and down, past the unseen buttons of his jacket, past the unseen cord to his trousers, and then it stopped. Ganderby had sent it by a route which did not cross any of the creases in the sheet. He was being very careful not to prod the snake with it. He was sweating, too, now. Sweating and biting his lip with his teeth. Funny, I remember now. One was gold. I remember staring at it while he inched that tube.
Now the funnel. I fit it into the end of the tube and we are ready. Mr. Pope, this is going to be very cold. The evaporation of the chloroform will cause a sharp lowering of the temperature. You must be prepared for this. It will take rather a long time, another factor for which you must prepare yourself. The snake is a reptile, and reptiles do not react quickly to the anesthetics which are intended for the use of warm-blooded animals. Bear these things in mind. Are you ready?
Sure. Friend.
He opened the bottle and began to drip the stuff into the funnel. Slowly, very slowly, drop by drop, the clear liquid entered the tube and traveled the long, dark route to Harry Pope's stomach, where the crate lay sleeping. Drop by drop, a pale, swirling vapor hung over the funnel. Down there on the sheet where the tube ended, a wet gray patch began to spread. The chloroform spreading and evaporating. The room began to reek of it. And I remembered other places and other times. Hospitals, operations, the death of loved ones. Smell of chloroform. Harry began to twitch now. His nose. He seemed to be in agony.
Woody.
Harry, what is it?
I think I'm gonna sneeze.
Don't do it, boy. Hang on, Harry. You gotta hang on. Don't. Ganderby looked at Harry's face. He reached up, pressed his knuckle against some nerve on Harry's upper lip, and the agonized look vanished. The relentless dripping of the chloroform continued. Harry was getting cold. I could see goose flesh along his arms, across the top of his chest where the jacket was open. Ganderby looked at this and stopped pouring.
That is enough. I think our little friend should be thoroughly unconscious now. Mr. Pope, you must remain very still. We are going to remove the sheet now.
Anything you say, Doctor.
Mr. Woods, you take the other side. We will have to do this ever so carefully.
We each took a side of the hem. I watched Ganderby and did everything that he did. Harry's arms were still flat on the bed, pointing toward his feet. We inched the sheet under and free of these. It was rough, because we had to do it without disturbing the main area of the sheet. When it was free of his arms, we began to raise it slowly, gathering the material in our hands as we progressed ever so slowly down Harry's chest. We reached the end of his jacket. No sign of the snake. My hands were beginning to shake. Ganderby paused while I turned my head away for air. The odor of chloroform was stifling. And then we went on, slowly, thread by thread, raising the sheet and easing it away, down past the cord of his pajamas, and down, and still no sign of the snake. I'd stopped looking for it by now. I was concentrating on keeping my arms from shaking, and then, quite suddenly, we were done. Ganderby dropped the sheet on the floor. Harry lay on his back, not moving, but watching us with wide, terrorized eyes. Ganderby squinted at both sides of Harry, at his legs.
Where is it?
It is not, as you suppose, on the outside of your pajama pants. It must be up one of the legs.
Harry, no, you fool!
I don't see it.
Kick those tatters of cloth, the remains of his pants. Yeah.
No, nothing.
The bed. Under the bed.
Yeah. Move your feet, Harry. Harry, move your feet. No, there's nothing.
Mr. Pope, are you quite certain you saw a snake? Sometimes when we are very tired, we find our autosuggestive faculties run a bit out of hand.
Are you calling me a liar?
Why, no. I merely say that the autosuggestive
faculties... Are you telling me I'm a liar?
Harry.
Why, you lousy little quack. Call me a liar. You stinking little Hindu witch doctor with your fancy pants on.
Harry!
Come in here sticking me full of your cheap, no good medicine.
Harry, don't!
Pour that freezing cold up all over
Harry,
me.
Take it easy. Harry's your friend.
My friend! That little hunk of foreign trash, my friend! Why, where I come from, where you guys live, khaki like him for bus boys.
You make a mistake. You are wrong.
Yeah, for bus boys, for waiters, for nothing. You're a foreigner. You're a gook. You're a nothing. Boy, I ought to beat you to a bloody pulp. You and your chloroform. You and your stuff about friendship and mama snake. And I must make out like I like you. I ought to split your head wide open, you gook. You go!
Please, Doctor, forgive him. He's been under a great strain. He doesn't mean it.
A great strain, yes. He needs a good holiday. Good night, Mr. Woods.
That's all. I couldn't tell this if old Harry was still alive. Poor old Harry. He didn't die in India. He died in Chicago. In the loop. Got run over by a taxi cab. The driver was third generation Irish, a real 100% white American. Maybe that means something, I don't know. Poor old Harry.
Escape is produced and directed by William N. Robson, and tonight is presented Poison by Roald Dahl and adapted for radio by James Poe. Featured in tonight's cast were Jack Webb as Woody, Bill Conrad as Harry, Jane Novello as Ganderby, and Charlie Long as the Houseboy. Special music arranged and played by Ivan Dittmars. Next week.
You are lost in the headhunter territory of New Guinea, fighting your way through the swamps in search of gold. With you is a giant brute of a man and his beautiful wife who doesn't care which of you is killed or who kills him, and from whose evil treachery there is no escape.
Next week at this time, the Richfield Oil Corporation of New York invites you to escape with an exciting story of evil and violence in the deadly swamps of New Guinea, as Jules Archer tells it in Two Came Back. Goodbye then until the same time next week when once again we offer you Escape. Tom Hanlon speaking over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Escape. And the music for Escape was Night on Bald Mountain, was the classical music that they used for it. Very, very powerful music on Escape. Jack Webb, starring in Poison, originally sponsored by the Richfield Oil Company, from July 28, 1950. Bill Conrad in there as well. Of course, Bill Conrad was Cannon on television. He was Nero Wolfe on TV. And he was U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon on the radio episodes of Gunsmoke. He did a ton of radio. I don't know if there's anybody that did more radio shows than William Conrad. I mean, he turns up on everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
on everything. And then his only starring radio series that he had was Gunsmoke. He was just a supporting guy. He was on, you know, every single radio show, but he finally got his own starring role on Gunsmoke, and you heard him supporting on this particular episode. All right, let's take a break. Then it's much more coming your way on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. Well, you know, what we do here every Saturday and Sunday night is a lot of fun. We play all your favorite classic radio shows. If you like The Shadow and Jack Benny and Burns and Allen and Boston Blackie and Dragnet and The Whistler, Inner Sanctum, Abbott and Costello, well, we have them all here every Saturday and Sunday night. And I think it's really cool that this station, as big as it is and how important this station is, they say, you know what? Those golden age of radio shows are a part of history of radio. Yeah. And WGN's all about radio history. And they said, you know, let's devote some time. We started with 3 hours on Sundays, and then it went well, and they said, let's also put these shows on Saturday night. That says something, because 6 hours is a lot of time to devote to any kind of a medium, and I just think it's wonderful that
they
do that.
You know, old-time radio, though, I mean, it's a good thing that to get away from the madness of news sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
Just to
it's an
chill
escape.
Out and relax.
It's really just an escape, right?
Listen to some stories.
Which we just listened to, Escape.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to sit back and relax. And I know a lot of people say to me, I get this a lot, well, the show's on so late, I can't really hear it. I can only get maybe the first hour. But we have all 3 hours podcast for you. So you can listen to this program. If you fall asleep, you can listen to this program at any time because it's available on podcast. In fact, it's available about 10 minutes, maybe even less, after we're done. So when we finish at 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night and 2 o'clock in the – well, actually, it's Sunday morning and then Monday morning because we're on from 11 to 2, it's up just a couple of minutes later, so you can listen to it during the week anytime via podcast. And there's a lot of ways to do that. What I do is I just Google WGN Radio Theater, and then it comes up. But there's other ways, right?
Yeah, just go to WGNradio.com.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of a creature of a habit, so I just Google it.
Yeah, it'd be faster if you just typed in WGNradio.com.
Right.
Or you can get an app, but...
Oh, please, an app. I refuse to put any apps on my phone. All right, in the next hour, we have The Lineup, a good show, a detective show. William Johnstone, is the star of The Lineup. And William Johnstone, for a few years, played Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow, on radio. He's in our next hour playing the lead role in The Lineup. So that's coming your way.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. The person across the council from me does not look like Lisa Wolf, though.
I am not.
So that's probably good.
Yeah, probably.
You know, it's probably even better for Denise, your wife, that you don't look like Lisa Wolf.
Right.
Luckily, you look like Mike Costella.
Yes.
Our producer, engineer. And Mike is the genius behind why these shows sound so good, because we do work with the rights holders for these shows, and they give us their master recordings. And they do sound good, but they don't sound great because there's always little clicks and pops and things. And Mike has all kinds of tools and all kinds of special gizmos.
Yep.
And he makes them sound so good. So we appreciate that, Mike.
Thank you.
We have tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of listeners that appreciate the hard work that you do.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I know our listeners do. And we're going to hear an episode of The Lineup coming your way in this hour called Bentley's Boo-Boo Case with William Johnstone from 1952. But before we do that, we're going to play our game, Cats, Pride, Crack the Quote. What's the movie?
Old Boy.
What's that? Old Boy, never heard of it.
I think it was like an independent film that was part of some kind of a trilogy. I think I saw like the first part of it, and I believe it was subtitled, and I don't remember too much from it, except that it was very strange.
God, I thought you were
But I haven't seen Old Boy.
I thought we were talking about me and Roger Badish here for a second there. Old Boy.
Hey, Lisa picked the film, so.
Yeah. I'm going to have a word with her about. So the first one she did was.
Paths of Glory.
Paths of Glory. Never
it's
heard
a,
of
it's
it.
It's a Kubrick film, though.
Oh, what?
I've seen it, actually, yeah. Right.
Well,
This
I never heard
of. Yeah, you'll probably
never
see this.
Well, the number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Twilight Zone?
Yep.
All right, you can win some Twilight Zone CDs. You don't have to have seen the movie. It's just a fun game to play. Give us a call. Play with us on the air here, 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote. Brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Tracy on the line. Hi, Tracy.
How are you doing?
Good.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Hey, I'm great.
All right. Well, ready to play the game with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. The film is Old Boy. Your job is to figure out which of these three lines was actually in the film. So, number one, you'll wish you were deaf before the end of the day. Number two, I can see how this could get a little depressing in here. This place isn't exactly happy. And number three, I will kill every girl that you love until the day that you die.
Pretty violent.
Yeah.
What do you think, Tracy?
I'm thinking number one.
Number one.
All right. All right, I'm going to go with number three.
You're going to go with number three?
Let's hear it.
I will kill every girl that you love until the day that you die.
Oh, I got one.
You did.
Well, Tracy, you're still a winner. You're going to win some Twilight Zone radio drama CDs, right?
Oh, thank you.
All right, my friend. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for playing the game with us. Great job, Mike.
Yeah.
All right. You're welcome. Tracy's a big winner. All right. What do you think? You want to listen to the lineup?
What if I said no?
Well, we don't really have much choice.
Right.
It's the only show left.
Okay, fair enough.
So we're going to play it. It's a police drama. It was set in San Francisco. The lineup gave audiences a look behind the scenes of a police headquarters. That was interesting, right?
Yeah.
And Bill Johnstone starred as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie. Wally Mayer was Sergeant Matt Greb. And since Dragnet was such a big hit on NBC, CBS decided that they'd try to win some of the Dragnet audience with the lineup. Elliot Lewis, who was one of the greatest directors in radio, was tapped as the producer-director. It premiered in 1950. And like Dragnet, the series focused on true crime cases from closed files. Lieutenant Guthrie and Sergeant Greb solved each week's case, and the radio series lasted until 1953. It even made a transition to television for six seasons. So it was only on radio three seasons, and it was on TV for six.
Yeah, but this was 1950s already?
Yeah, 1952. So it was like the second year already in the run. Now, this is called Bentley's Boo Boo Case, and it stars Bill Johnstone. Let's tune this in. Part one now of the lineup.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is the lineup.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Dave. How's Sandy?
Oh, she's fine, thanks. We brought her home this morning.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, you gotta hand it to her. Doc said there wasn't a peep out of her. Behaved better than most grown-ups.
Proud father, huh?
Oh, sure. If you had any kids, you know what it's like.
Mrs. Weiss here yet?
Oh, I don't think so.
Did Quine come in?
I haven't seen him. Sandy's always been brave about things like that, though. Even the dentist doesn't bother her.
Hi, Ben.
Oh, hi. Hi, Clay.
How's Sandy, Dave?
Don't ask him. You'll get a lecture on brave children.
Oh, she's fine, thanks. Didn't you have any
Never mind, I believe you. Oh, hello, Miss Weiss.
Hello, Lieutenant Guthrie.
How are you feeling?
Oh, much better, thank you.
You remember Sergeant Quine, Sergeant Asher?
Oh, yes, how do you do?
How do you do, Miss Weiss?
I'm sorry I'm late. Seems like there's so many things to do now that Daddy is gone.
Oh, that's all right. Here, this will do.
Lieutenant, did you find the men that did this awful thing?
Well, we're not sure. We picked up one man that fits your description.
Oh, but there were two men, Lieutenant.
Yeah, I know, but if we can get one, we can usually get the other.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure of the suspect, have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they're sent to the washroom and dressed back into their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. All right, bring on the line. Okay, keep it moving. Right over here to the end of the stage. Come on, boys, move it. Now turn and face front, hands at your sides, and look straight out through the screen. That's it. Now when I call your number, step out. Keep facing front and talk up so everybody out there can hear you. I want all those people out there on the other side of the screen to get a good look at you and be able to hear what you say. Stand up and talk up. All right, number one, Ernest Fitz, grand larceny. Okay, Ernie, step out.
Well, Ernest, if you please.
All right, Ernest. What's your address?
Well, my mailing address is 1263 South Griffith Road, Miami, Florida.
And when I ask for your address, I want to know the address where you slept last.
Oh, 614 Oak Lane.
House or apartment?
It's an apartment. I'm staying with a friend of mine.
And we know all about your friend.
Oh, really?
How long have you been in town, Ernest?
Yes.
I think that's one of the men that hurt one.
Oh, it's a 51 sure? Cadillac.
I would like to see him closer.
Whitley's calling, when you'll be able to get a better look at him.
Not this season.
When were you in Palm Springs?
Well, last year.
For how long?
Well, really, now, must we go through this foolishness?
How long were you in Palm Springs?
Well, about 3 months.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a salesman.
What kind?
A very good one.
All right, Harry. What do you sell?
Real estate, securities.
What firm do you represent?
What firm?
Yes, what company?
Well, I suppose you would call it my own.
Business been good, Ernest?
Oh, it's very good. Well, that is up until this afternoon.
Okay, Ernest, step back. Number two, Herbert Emery, robbery. Where do you live, Herbert?
We are in Far East Federal.
Where do you work?
I ain't working right now. I've been looking, though.
What were you doing at 434 East Collins early this morning?
Looking. Just looking, that's all.
For work?
Yeah. I go out early in the morning, line up places to ask for a job during the day.
But the store wasn't open for business and you were inside.
The door was unlocked. I was going to close it.
Oh. Where are you from, Emery?
Oregon.
You ever been in trouble before?
No, sir, nothing serious.
How old are you?
41. I ain't in any trouble now, am I?
A little.
Oh, I ain't done nothing. The door was open. I was going to close it.
You own a car?
Oh, sir.
How long you been in town?
Near 2 weeks.
All right, Emery, step back. Number three, Roger Fitzgerald, open charge. Okay, Roger, stand up straight. That's it. Where do you live?
4677 North 40.
You own a car?
No, sir. You know that. I was waiting for a bus when you picked me up.
Where'd you get the typewriters, Roger?
I found them.
Where?
In the bushes.
You find a lot of typewriters?
Yeah, quite a few.
We found 12 more typewriters in your room, Roger.
There were that many?
Yeah. You ever been picked up before?
Not this town.
How long you been in town, Roger?
40 months.
Where you from?
Dayton, Ohio. Hey, you think I stole those typewriters?
That's right.
You kidding?
Afraid not. Okay, step back, Roger.
Could we move
number four, Carl Lindell, robbery.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
good.
Carl, move it.
I'm sorry, my eyes aren't as good as when I was young.
Along Washington Boulevard.
Lived there long?
4 days.
You own a car?
No.
How long you been in town?
10 days.
Where'd you come from?
Texas.
What city?
Dallas.
What kind of work do you do?
Mechanic.
You folks out there hear him? Okay, Carl, speak up. Stand up straight. How old are you?
24.
Any weapons on you when you were picked up?
32 revolver.
Nickel-plated or blue steel?
Blue.
Not very talkative, are you, Carl?
No.
Any questions or identifications?
I'm sure of it now, Lieutenant.
All right, quiet down.
He was one of them.
You can't make me sick.
Believe me, I would never say it if I'm not sure.
I believe you, Miss Weiss.
Something as serious as this, I would be sure before I said anything.
Surely. Sergeant Cargan?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Number 4, hold for interrogation.
Oh, here's the package and Carl Lindell, Ben.
Just came in on the teletype.
Thanks. Oh, been a busy boy, hasn't he?
They want him back there when we're through with him. Grand Theft Auto.
Three arrests. First in 1944.
Only thing he's been arrested for is theft.
Well, looks like he got in a little over his head this time. Yeah?
Ash has got Lindell out here, Ben.
I send him in.
Right.
Well, let's see what he has to say.
Over here.
Okay, what's the beef?
Don't you know?
Nah, I'm supposed to be a mind reader.
Okay, have it your way. We'll bring you up to date. Night before last, a liquor store at the corner of Beverly and 6th was held up. The owner, Mr. Weiss, was shot and killed in the struggle with the thieves.
So what?
Mrs. Weiss identified you in the line as one of the men.
So I tell you, I don't know anything about it. No matter what town you're in, the cops don't change. Witnesses have been known to make mistakes.
This one's positive.
Okay, so she's positive. I'm positive I didn't have anything to do with it.
Where were you night before last?
I went to a show.
Anybody with you?
No, I went by myself.
Can you prove you were at the show?
No, I told you nobody was with me.
Well, what picture did you see?
I don't know the name of it. It was a musical.
What theater?
What difference does it make?
You know, folks down in Dallas, Carl?
No, I don't know where they are. They wouldn't care anyhow.
You know you're wanted in Texas?
So what? Send me back.
Grand theft's better than a murder rap, I call.
I didn't kill nobody.
Who did? Your partner?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Who is your partner?
I don't have any partner. I've only been in town for 10 days.
Made any friends while you've been in town?
No.
What do you do at night?
Stay in my room.
What have you been doing in the daytime?
Looking for a job.
Where?
Lots of places.
Name one.
A garage on 12th Street.
What did they say?
They didn't need anybody. I'd be working if they did.
Want a cigarette?
No.
You ever been around Beverly and 6th?
I don't know. I don't even know where it is.
How long you lived in the motel?
Ever since I got in town, 10 days.
Where did your partner go?
I don't know.
I thought you didn't have a partner.
I didn't.
What picture did you see 3 nights ago?
I told you I don't remember the name. It was a musical. Why don't you guys let up? I'm telling you the truth.
You said you saw the musical night before last.
I did.
You went to a show 2 nights in a row?
No. You guys got me talking to myself. Just because some half-blind old dame gets a liquor store stuck up, you guys try to make me the patsy.
How did you know she was half-blind?
All right, I was in on it. But I didn't kill the old man. Earl did it.
Earl who?
Earl Bentley. Crazy jerk. He didn't have to either. The old man didn't even have a gun.
Whose car did you use?
I don't know who it belonged to. Earl stole it.
Where does Bentley live?
I don't know. Really, I don't know. I met him in a bar at 3rd and Washington. Hi Ho. He's got a girlfriend who works there.
And what's her name?
Jean Hillard.
You seen Earl since the robbery?
No.
Okay, Ash, I'll lock him up.
An unborn baby, an aged grandmother, a Cub Scout, a hardened veteran of the Korean War, people of all kinds, your neighbors, are helped when you give to your local community chest. It's many campaigns in one. and it provides the only financial support for dozens of health, welfare, recreation, and defense organizations in your hometown. They're all counting on a bigger gift from you this year. Don't let them down.
All right, Mike, don't let them down. Whatever you do, okay?
Don't do we have a community chest somewhere?
I don't know if we do or not. We probably do.
Hmm.
I mean, it's a big city.
Yeah.
Probably have one. That is the first portion of the lineup. Bentley's Boo Boo Case, and that stars Bill Johnstone. And I want to remind all of our listeners that we didn't talk about our surprise boxes this yesterday or today, I don't think. We have surprise boxes. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com. If you like classic radio, we have a surprise box for you. If you like classic movies and classic TV shows on DVD, we have a surprise box for you. And if you like the Twilight Zone radio dramas, we have a surprise box for you. Three surprise boxes. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com, and there'll be a pop-up. It talks all about these surprise boxes. Learn all about them. They're going fast, and when they are gone, they are gone. So do check them out. I'm not sure how much longer we're going to run this promotion because they are going fast. So just go to WGNRadioTheater.com. All right, after these words, we'll come back. We'll do news, and then we'll have the conclusion to the lineup, so stick around. Well, earlier last year, I wrote a book, actually co-wrote a book with Martin Grams, who is a classic radio expert. We got together, we wrote a big coffee table book called The Top 100 Classic Radio Shows, and it has some CDs in the back of the spine of the book, or the back cover, I should say, and then you can actually download most of the shows, about, I think, 70-plus episodes of the 100 episodes. You can download off of a special website. So if you have not had a chance to pick up my book, The Top 100 Classic Radio Shows, it is available at most Costco stores and Barnes & Noble stores across the country. And also, you can get it at Amazon. But if you want to order it directly from me, I will be happy to personalize it and sign it to you. And I'll write your name, whatever you want me to write, and be happy to send that to you directly. And to do that, just go to WGNRadioTheater.com and click on the store section. So you can just go to our store. Or you could just go right to our store, which is classicradiostore.com. That's classicradiostore.com. And right at the top, there's a little icon that says My Book. You can click on it, read all about it. I'd love you to have a copy. But as I say, if you want to just get it directly from Amazon, you can do that as well, or any of the stores I mentioned.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, Lisa will be back next Saturday. From what Mike said, she gets back from Israel next Saturday in the morning, and she's going to sleep all day and then get here in time to do the show at 11 p.m. That's dedication. If she actually does that, I will be very happy, because you know what? This show is as great as Mike is, and whenever my brother co-hosts or whatever, or Dave Plyer has helped out into. Lisa is one in a billion. She's just amazing. Just love her. She's an awesome, awesome co-host and one of my best friends in the whole wide world. And I miss her when she's not here. This is her time to shine. She does a great job as the co-host, and she'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. And I hope she's having a great time out there in Israel. She's visiting her daughter, who is studying there. So she went to visit her. She's never been there before. So I hope she enjoys herself. And she's been texting me. So she's doing fine. And she can't wait to come back and do the radio show. Next week, when she is back, we'll play Boston Blackie, You Bet Your Life, Red Rider, The Shadow, The Bing Crosby Show, and Broadway Is My Beat. But right now, let's tune in to the conclusion to the lineup.
Thank you. Only one bar girl in the whole place.
Yeah. Jean Hillian?
Yes, that's right.
Police officers, Miss Hillian. I'm Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Cargan.
Oh, you want to see the owner?
No. We'd like to talk to you.
What in the world for?
You know an Earl Bentley?
Sure, I know Earl.
When was the last time you saw him?
Well, it's been pretty nearly a week. He told me he was going out of town. What's the matter? Is Earl in trouble?
Did he say where he was going?
No, he just said he was going out of town. He never tells me much about what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me.
Certainly.
Good looking.
Uh-huh.
Vodka Collins and a bourbon and water. You never did answer me. Is Earl in trouble?
We'd just like to talk to him. Did he say when he was coming back?
No, he didn't. But he's never gone for more than a week at a time.
Well, does he go out of town often?
Oh, about once a month.
You know a Carl Lindell?
No. No, I don't think so.
He's 5'11", dark brown hair, brown eyes. They're from Texas.
Oh, yeah, I remember him now. He came in with Earl a couple of times last week. Excuse me.
Looks like we better go back and have another talk with Lindell.
Nothing like setting up an alibi. I think Lindell leveled with us.
Yeah? Maybe so.
Oh, Gene, does Earl own a car?
Yeah, a maroon Ford.
Sedan? Coupe?
Yeah, coupe.
Do you know what year it is?
It's a 1949, I think. It's pretty new.
And where does he work?
Well, I don't know for sure. For his father, I think. He must do all right, though. He always seems to have money.
What does his father do?
He has a restaurant. Earl mentioned it just the other day. Said he was sick and tired of working in a hash house and was going to get into something better.
You know where the restaurant is?
Mm-hmm, over on Washington. The Coffee Cup, 900 block north.
I see. Well, thanks, Miss Hillian.
Oh, what if Earl should come in?
Just don't mention our being here.
Oh, I won't if you don't want me to.
No, we don't want you to.
All right. I still can't understand what you want with Earl.
Is this okay, Ben?
Sure.
What'll it be, gentlemen?
Coffee for me, please.
Same.
All right.
Clean place, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Not much business, though.
There you are. Two coffees. Anything else?
Is that pie any good?
It better be. I make it myself.
Give me a piece of the berry.
Sure.
You run this place by yourself?
Practically. Wish I could get some good help. Even my own son thinks he's too good to work in a lunch counter. This ain't too much of a place, but it's been good to me. I'm going to retire one of these days, and I always figured that Earl, he's my son, I always figured that he could take over someday.
Well, maybe he'll change his mind.
Not Earl. You know, I started this place 14 years ago. Got a little home around the corner here on 9th Street, all paid for, and I got a little money in the bank. But that ain't good enough for Earl. He's going to make it fast, he says.
Where is he now?
Earl, I don't know. Never tells me where he's going.
You think he's home?
I doubt it. Why'd you ask that?
I just wondered.
You fellas friends of Earl?
Not exactly. But we would like to see him.
You fellas are policemen, aren't you? Earl's in some kind of trouble, ain't he?
That's right, Mr. Bentley.
Just a minute. Yeah?
Mrs. Bentley?
Yeah.
Police, Mrs. Bentley.
Oh. Want to come in?
No, thank you. Is Earl here?
Nope. He left about 2 hours ago.
Did he leave in his car?
Uh-huh.
You know when he'll be back?
Nope. Earl, don't tell me nothing about what he does. He's in trouble, ain't he?
We'd like to talk to him.
I knew it. I knew it was bound to happen.
Well, how's that?
A smart aleck punk. I told his father he was going to get in trouble.
Isn't he your boy, too?
Nope. He just married his old man last year.
How old is Earl?
24. He's old enough to know better.
You mind if we have a look around?
Nope. But he ain't here.
Pete?
Yeah, Ben?
Check the house.
All right.
Where's this room, Mrs. Bentley?
Right down the hall. What'd he do?
We think he shot a man.
He'd have the guts, all right. Smart aleck jerk. Here. Take a look.
You have any idea where he might be?
Nope. Told you don't tell me nothing.
Nothing here, Ben.
Of course he ain't here. I'd have told you if he was.
May I use your phone, Mrs. Bentley?
Sure, help yourself. It's in the kitchen.
A, of 415 at 67 and Julia. See the man. Keep the peace.
You think he'll come back home, Ben?
Sure. Didn't take any clothes.
Probably doesn't even know we got Lynn down.
T-43, 914. Code 5 at 631 Cedar. Pick up. Suspect Earl Bentley. Age 24. Male, Caucasian. 5'9". 165 pounds, brown hair. Probably driving 1949 maroon Ford coupe.
If he comes back, they'll get him.
You think he'll try anything else?
Oh, maybe. If he's as cocky as Mrs. Bentley thinks he is, he won't quit now.
T-23, 390W at 5441 Garden Street. See the man.
I asked Asher how his kid would.
Yeah, so did I.
It sure burns quine up the way Dave goes on about his kid.
That's one good thing about being single. You never have any trouble like that.
You want to go up, Madison?
Oh, okay.
You ever been around Asher's kid?
No.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, you would go up, Madison. Looks like it just happened. Better stop. Is anyone hurt?
No. No, I don't think so. I'm not anyway.
Well, are you the driver of that car?
Yeah. The other car came clean across the double line. Hooked me on the rear fender. Guy sat down and turned me over.
Didn't he stop?
No. I saw him going around the corner, but by the time I got there, well, he was gone. I just now got back here to my car. He must have gone to call you guys.
Well, there hasn't been any call on this.
Gee, that's funny.
All units.
I'd have called, but I...
All units.
Hold it.
Vicinity Cedar and Washington. 211 at 1506 Acacia.
Ooh, hey.
A liquor store.
That's only a few blocks from
Suspect
here.
Resembles Earl Bentley. Male, Caucasian, about 5'9".
Let's go, Pete.
165 pounds.
Take this street over, Pete. Cuts into Washington,
right? Not much chance of seeing him.
Yeah, there he goes, Pete. He couldn't make the light. He turned off. See if you can make it, Pete.
That'll be close, Ben. He sees, Ben?
I don't think so. Yeah. Hey, he's not going to make it. He's making a run for it. Come on, Pete. In that garage. Cover the alley.
Right. Hey, mister, are you a cop?
Yeah.
Some guy just came running in the garage. He's got a gun.
Yeah, I know. Anyone else in there?
No.
Well, keep undercover.
Don't worry. That guy's crazy.
Bentley? Bentley?
Yeah?
Come on out with your hands up. You can't get away with this.
I can try. I'm dead no matter how you take me in.
You okay, Ben?
Yeah.
No, I got me two cops.
Where is he?
In the paint booth.
Yeah, come and get me.
Nervous, Bentley? You're gonna whip the whole police force?
I don't have to. There's only two of you.
There'll be more.
Okay, you win.
Throw your gun out. Okay. Come out with your hands over your head. Okay, that's close enough. Face the wall. Put your hands in back of you.
Sure.
Take it easy, Bentley. Okay, Pete, come on in.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh.
That didn't make much sense, Bentley. Get an ambulance, Pete.
The lineup, where before you passed the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call up a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identification...
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Guthrie with Jack Moyles as Sergeant Pete Cogger, was written by David M. Light with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Peter Leeds, Hi Averback, Virginia Gregg, Howard McNear, Herb Butterfield, Bob Bailey, Sam Edwards, and Jeanette Nolan. The Lineup is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. Presidential election night. As the voting returns pour in from coast to coast, CBS Radio will be ready with one of the most comprehensive reporting jobs in election history. Make CBS Radio your election night headquarters for coverage by Alan Jackson, Lowell Thomas, and Edward R. Murrow. And shortly after, for full-time coverage by the entire CBS Radio news staff. And remember, between now and November 4th, make CBS Radio your election campaign headquarters for all developments clearly, impartially reported. Coverly speaking, this is the CBS Radio Network.
That's The Lineup from October 15th, 1952, called Bentley's Boo Boo Case, with Bill Johnstone, also in that cast, Jack Moyles, Peter Leeds, Hi Averback, Howard McNear. Howard McNear was for many, many years on the Andy Griffith Show. He was, Floyd the Barber, yes, indeed. And he was also a cast member on Gunsmoke, the radio series. He played the, let's see, which one was he now? He wasn't, I'm trying to think now. He was Doc. He was Doc Adams on that. Also in this cast, Herb Butterfield, Bob Bailey, who was yours truly, Johnny Dollar, Sam Edwards, Jeanette Nolan, Virginia Gregg. Virginia Gregg played Kitty Russell on Gunsmoke, and then Dan Cubberly announcing. So this had a lot of the really great supporting actors, especially on CBS. Jaime Del Valle doing the producing and directing on this program of The Lineup. Hope you enjoyed that.